love to pop, not soda.
It's pop. Like this. Pop.
Welcome to Pop, Not Soda. And now it's time for Brian, and... Oh, damn. Enjoy the show!
Bad about me, Brian. I'm gone 1 week. First episode I missed.
Well, we I mean, better than saying things about your mother, right? Oh.
We did find a replacement, though, for you, Dan.
Yeah, I was very afraid for my job with John Allen.
Yeah.
Like, I can't do voice impressions. One thing I can't do.
Well, we also invited Chad here.
I know.
Knowing whether or not you would show up, so.
People are auditioning for my job right now.
I accidentally locked the front door thinking that it was just three of us. And then came knocking
I'm
on
glad
the door
I got here
like,
before
okay,
Chad.
We got to do this.
Good thing about tacos, I would not have been welcomed in.
He brought tacos too. Oh.
Dude, he's a guest bearing gifts.
Yeah, my gift being here.
A guest
so,
bearing
yeah.
gifts.
Yeah, I mean,
you should be very thankful because my presence is a present, to quote Kanye.
Oh, or Common before Kanye stole that lyric.
Did, really?
Yeah.
No,
oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
No, check it out.
He likes
anyway.
Did he just remaster the line?
Oh, no. Look at Common B. It happened on that. It was the intro.
Short round, get on that. Short round.
Short round is on that. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome
episode
to Pop Not Soda 22.
Season 2. Twos are cheap tonight.
They are, actually. They're coming in triples now. We have
esteemed friend of the 22. Show. Esteemed friend of the show.
Chad Kavanaugh.
Local celebrity.
Tomorrow's my 22-year anniversary of getting my Tomb Guard badge.
Oh, wow.
Let me add more twos to
yeah.
that.
Oh, my God, man.
I didn't get my Tomb Guard badge. I earned it.
There you go.
There
you
it
don't
is,
get
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Believe me, you don't get it.
So we got Chad Kavanaugh on, by the way. Chad, local comic book artist. You blew up, man, at Comic-Con this last week, huh?
It was a lot of fun. It was a pretty awesome experience for me.
So we got Chad Kavanaugh, Grunt 1B Comics. This guy writes, creates, draws, inks, does everything for Grunt 1B, right?
Yes.
Everything except make the paper.
Right, except printing it on paper.
The printing I don't do.
You don't have like a press in your house?
That rolling thing.
He actually has like the old school printing press where he's done to move the letters into
anything to generate more heat inside that house.
Chad, you got a killer story, and we got to talk about this too, because we talked about it last episode, Comic-Con and everything like that. But you had a very, very one-of-a-kind kind of story at Comic-Con. Can you kind of shed the light on that? Was it you got called up a couple weeks before? Yeah.
A year ago, I had applied. You know, everyone puts in their submissions around now, and in October, November... they start to contact people saying, "Hey, you got a spot," or "Hey, you don't have a spot."
And a spot is a booth,
like a table. Just,
okay,
yes.
Okay.
And I'm curious, what is the application? Are you like submitting some of your work?
Yes. So I submit for small press because I'm my own publisher as well. So I submitted the works that I had for that year. So in 2015, the works that I already had published, that's what I submitted with it.
Got it.
Because they want to make sure that you're actively publishing and creating. Content.
And Chad, what was in, before you get moving forward, what was in that portfolio? Some of the map, some of Rad God,
at
some of
point,
Bedlam?
No, at that point I had number 5, 6, and 7 of the map and number 1 of Bedlam and Shovel Town. So I had 4 books in that year already that had been published, and I had 3 or 4 more on the way. But so I had that submitted, and in November I was denied, basically, just told, "I'm sorry. You know, a jury looked at it, and we appreciate you applying, but we have all the spaces filled," kind of thing. So I was like, "All right, well, screw it. I didn't want it anyway." I was so sour grapes about it.
My own Comic-Con.
Blackjack
and
Hookers. Oh, yeah. Dude, I was so sour grapes about it because it just made me feel better about being denied, because I don't like being told no. And even like as the year went on, when people are like, "Oh, are you going to Comic-Con?" I'm like, "No, I'm not going there. No one there cares about comics. It's stupid and they're dumb."
It's all about movies now.
It's toys and video games and that stupid, dumb-faced person. And so I pretty much told everybody this, that how bad the place was. And I didn't say it was bad. I said it is the Super Bowl for pop culture, and it's about movies and trailers and toys and video games and seeing panels of celebrities.
And let me guess, this no came through through mail, email,
things
like that. Yeah, because nobody would say no to you.
Dude,
in
you should have seen like if Like, remember the old Gatorade commercials where the guy's, like, burning up and he starts drinking Gatorade and he starts turning green?
Yeah.
Dude, if I could have been seen, like, in Predator Vision, you just see, like, me open up the, like, the letter all green and just slowly just turn bright, flaming, white, hot, red, just angry.
Super Saiyan.
So, yeah. So, basically, I was told no. I was sour grapes about it because I got my feelings hurt. But the Monday before the week of Comic-Con, I got a phone call saying, hey, we had a table open up. Do you want to take it? And I was like, absolutely.
Yeah, how do you ever say no to that? It's the greatest show on earth. Everyone come down.
So, and basically people are like, oh, you're going to do it? I thought you said it. And I'm like, yeah, I did say that because I'm full of shit. You know? Because I was sour grapes about it. So I got then I realized because the Saturday before I had the release of Rad God 2 and I – pretty much had almost no inventory. So I had to call up the printers up outside of Sacramento, RA Comics, and get everything printed up because they're quick about it. So I called them on Tuesday. By Monday morning, the box full of comics was at my door. So ready to go. Wow. And it was just a whirlwind. And so like Monday going down there to pick up badges and stuff, Tuesday to go do setup, Wednesday to do a little more setup and then get ready for preview night. And then Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of just this madness. And it was fantastic.
So what's the craziest day? I mean, is it leading up to the prep? Is it being there? Like, what do you think is the craziest day having someone that has a booth there?
What's crazy is when you go in there like the day before and they're trying to set up everything. Because when you go in there, you see like Sideshow Collectibles and DC and The Walking Dead has an environment set up. All that stuff has to be rolled in on like forklifts. And there's people that are having to set everything. I mean, it's like an army of workers setting all this stuff up. And there's no air conditioning on. It was so hot and just swampy in there. And I was like, oh. And I was told by Tuesday by 7 in the morning, come set up. So I'm always trying to be somewhere early, except for tonight, apparently.
But I'm always We're talking to a military guy, by the way.
Yeah. I'm always trying to get there and just be ready and done and out of the way. And I get there. And there's only tape on the ground where tables are supposed to go. And when I got there, I was informed that the people that were bringing up tables just went on their coffee break. And they had three breaks from 10 to noon, including a lunch break.
Wow, are these children?
That's a nice job. Yeah.
No, I don't know. A lot of convention centers, they're usually union run. San Diego is not too bad because I can bring my own stuff in and handle it. Some of the places, they have a thing called drayage, which I had learned in the last few months, where you can't even touch your own stuff. Only the union employees can wheel your stuff into this place, and you have to pay for that. And wow. It's horribly inefficient. That wasn't the case here. They just went on a lot of breaks. But so I sat there in the convention center the majority of the morning and early, into the early afternoon, because it was after their lunch that they came back and started setting tables up, and mine was one of the last tables. I didn't have anywhere else to be, and I had already taken my kids. Like one was at camp, another one was at a friend's, and another one was up at the.
Because you're a family man beyond being a successful artist.
I got three daughters. Yes, that I've got a I don't have to. They're mine. You know, they're, right. So I enjoy being with them, but. Yeah, so it was just a long day and it was just hot. So I spent most of the time out in the lobby talking with the security people, and they're really nice people. They have a shitty job, you know. They have to tell people they can or cannot go somewhere where people have wanted to go for a year,
right?
And the people take it out on them, and it's sad because they're like, they're just doing what they're told, you know.
Yep.
And they're really really cool people. I had fun sitting there talking with them and hanging out, and you kind of get to know them and. But yeah, that was insane. And watching the people that have the job of setting up all the cool like statues and toys from Sideshow Collectibles, that's what they do. They just sit there and put arms and legs on all these just awesomely, beautifully created statues. That was hot as fuck in there.
You know, that's one thing that I've always noticed about you though, Chad. And like, we got to tip our hat to you right now, man, because as an artist, man, that is one thing. You are so humble and you are so personable about your product too. I think anybody that ever runs into you knows exactly where you're coming from, likes what you're doing, and then wants to support you in it. I mean, what you're talking about too, you're working the security guards. And I'm sure at some point too, you have those security guards that are fielding people in and kind of going like, hey, man, if you got nothing to see, check out Grunt 1B. Or yes, Grunt B.
I've been security. I've been a bouncer. I've been a dishwasher. You know, I've done all the jobs people don't want. And I never felt like I was less than the person that was out there that was washing their dishes for them, you know?
And that's something you see, too, because you got a Fox News special.
Like that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, and that was like a
that would be a $100,000 ad. You know, it was a 2-minute spot.
See, that's the thing too, is it's not some local Indiana show, like some local Indiana news that's kind of going like, hey, we sent somebody out and they randomly got into Comic-Con in San Diego or whatever. It's literally the city that is doing Comic-Con
has you on the largest, it's the greatest comic book convention in the universe.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy too is you see Raul, what we were talking about earlier too. That wasn't like a press kind of connection. That's a personal connection that
sure,
you had.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's how you work your success through all these venues or and everything like that. I think like everybody that touches upon you goes, man, Chad's a fucking rad dude.
I appreciate that. I would hope so. I'm sure there's people that can't stand me. And most of those people are people that can't reach shit off the top of the refrigerator. that's not nice.
But I mean, for God's sakes, I mean, you're like, you're here sitting down with us, you know, in the sweltering apartment, just shooting the shit.
That's what I'm saying,
this
man.
This apartment's cooler than my house.
Yeah. If you want to see that news report from FOTS 5, it is up on our Facebook page right now.
Yep.
So go check that out. You can, and if you haven't checked out our Facebook Live video from last week as well, go check that out. You can see Chad's beautiful face. You know, it's a good break from seeing our faces.
And if you're listening to this episode right now and you're going like, hey, where can I get Chad Kavanaugh products? Chad, tell them where you can grab them, brother.
You can get it from me at any time I go to Southern California Comics to do a release, which is at 8280 Claremont Mesa Boulevard in San Diego off the 163 in Claremont Mesa Boulevard.
Killer location. Check it out.
Oh, that place is awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Or it's huge, too.
It's massive, and they keep growing bigger. Or you can go to my site, grunt1bcomics.etsy.com. You can follow me online at Grunt1B Comics, and all of those social media sites have a link to the store. And you can get your stuff there.
Awesome.
And I have every single.
Yeah, I think we are all.
You guys are lacking Rad God 2.
Oh, no, that's right.
That's right.
We got Rad God 2 I need to grab. Yeah. And then I think I need to grab like the last few.
Yeah. What number map are you on?
There are only 8 out right now.
Yeah, I have those.
And then there are 3 of Bedlam and Troubletown. And
I need to get that third. I don't have that third option.
I need the 2. I need 2 and 3.
Here we are. We're talking like we're trading cards.
So
right
we
now,
need
guys.
To
like,
head over to the Etsy shop.
Can I give you a 2 Grunt maps number 1 with for a Rad God number 2?
Exactly.
Do you mind if I get that?
And I'm working on Rad God 3 now. It's a 4-part story. And once I put the second one out, I'm like, you know, I might as well just finish out the story.
I think that's a really cool thing to talk about too, Rad God itself, because that's some individually inspired creation that you've done. And can you kind of talk about that a little bit too, Chad?
It is. You heard Brett earlier say that I'm a military guy. I'm a veteran of the United States Army Infantry. I was
thank you for your service,
active
sir.
Duty. Oh, thank you for acknowledging it. I was active duty from 91 to 96. I was a sentinel at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier in Arlington National Cemetery. And my roommate and like my brother, Jeff Nilsson, he's just a massive Viking of a man. The guy was about 6'6 or 6'7, 260, 270, just huge.
He made you look small.
He made everybody look small. I mean, he couldn't hide because he's too big. Well, he passed away on September 1st of last year, and it was awful. You know, it was for me. It was a week of losing 5 people that I loved and was very close to, including my uncle and a few other friends, and as well as my brother Jeff. And so, a lot of my other Army brothers were like, well, we need something to commemorate him by. So I was sitting at the comic shop at SoCal Comics, and I was doing the release of Bedlam and Troubletown number 2 and the trade paperback. And that's when I started drawing up the Viking design. And when I got done with it, I'm like, this has to be its own series. I'll just do like a short little like 4-issue series kind of to honor his life and commemorate him. And that's how Rad God the comic was born. And that's what it was born from. So.
And it's a great comic, by the way.
Thank you very much.
All awesome.
Yeah, you have to check it out. I think that it has a personal flair, though, on it. That I mean, every comic that you do, the map, Bedlam and Troubletown, you've got different angles that you're kind of doing it. You can tell that this one's coming from.
It's pretty emotional.
A close place.
You know, every time I finish one of the issues, it's pretty draining because there's a lot that goes into it. It's just a nonstop onslaught of memories of someone that I loved very dearly, who I don't know why he died. You know, it's not a mystery. Like, there wasn't like something that happened where he was poisoned or anything like that. He passed away. Something within his body stopped working. It's just weird. You know, he's my age. He was only 42 at the time, and that's not very old. So it feels good to be able to do this, and to be able to kind of honor his life, because he is somebody that I loved, and so I enjoyed doing it. And another cool thing that's come out of Rad God is when I was in Phoenix Comic Con, I was
how long ago was that?
That was in early June.
Okay.
And how does that compare to San Diego Comic Con? Or does it?
It was big. Phoenix Comic Con is about the third largest in the country.
Oh, damn. Wow.
They had a little over 100,000 people there. So it was pretty massive. Not as big as San Diego, of course, but it was big, and it was fun. It was really good. While I was there, I ran into a father and son, and the son had on his Thor shirt, and he carried Mjolnir, the hammer. And he was a kid who's got Down syndrome. That doesn't mean anything. He just does. Him and his father love comic books. But this kid, I just felt a connection to him and his dad. I don't know why. The kid looks up, and he's like, oh, his name's Chad. And I guess there was another artist there named Chad. And he saw that I was doing a sketch cover. And the dad goes, hey, do you think you can draw him on this Thor sketch cover? I said, yeah. He goes, can you draw him as Thor? Like the character Thor from Marvel. I said, sure. Right. But the kid, if you ever follow me on social media, you'll see the picture of me with my arm around him. And he's got like a shaved head. But the kid, dude, like when I put my arm on him, felt his shoulder. I'm like, dude, this guy could easily bench press me over his head. Like, and his name is Thor. They legally changed his name Thor because he loved the character so much.
That's great.
But anyway, I told the father, yeah, I can do it. He goes, okay, well, we're going to go look around and see some other artists or whatever. And because Thor liked to go pick out an artist and have them do the artwork of him. Well, they walked away, and a couple weeks later, I was talking with the dad on the phone because I became friends with him. And he's telling me, he goes, we walked away from that booth. And Thor's like, no, I don't want to go to see anybody else. I want him to do it. And so he brought the cover over, and I did the cover for him. And when I finished it, I, you know, sent him a text. I'm like, hey, it's done. And anytime I do a cover for someone, I'm like, oh, I really hope they like it, you know.
Of course.
And Thor gets it, and he goes, he's like, that's me. And he goes, look, he's even got my goatee. And so he was excited, and I was like, this is like the best moment of my entire convention here. It was just the look on his face that I made him happy. It was the coolest thing ever. And he goes, can I have a hug? And I was like, yes.
Can I have a hug?
And so I walked over, and the dad took the picture of us. But like I said, man, gee, the kid is yoked. I mean, he's so strong. You can just feel it. And when I was talking to his dad, he was saying how they used to have a comic shop, and he would dress up in the different characters, and people loved coming and taking pictures with him. He's just a fantastic person.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And how they're really heavily involved with Special Olympics and things like that. And how he's like, yeah, dude, he goes, Thor is so strong. 'Cause the father was my height, but about 260. He's a big guy. He goes, he can press me over his head out of the water when we're in the pool. I said, I believe it. And so he went on to tell me, you know, it's like Down syndrome kids, the way their musculature is, they're powerful. They're very strong. But the connection that him and his son have is beautiful, man. And to see how Joe adores his son, Thor, it was awesome. And so I had posted something about the Rad God, and Joe's like, oh, you should make Thor a superhero. And I'm like, I got an idea. So I private messaged him, and I talked to him on the phone. I said, I think it'd be really cool to have Thor become a character in this comic in Rad God. And I said, and I wanted to talk to him because I wanted to make sure that I presented it
appropriately.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we discussed who the character was going to be, why he would be where he is. And we had a long conversation, and his father opened up to me about their whole life together. And Thor, the kid, he's not a kid, he just turned 20, but the young man, they talked about the two of them and their bond and all the cool adventures they've been on. And I'm like, dude, I want you for a dad. You sound awesome. But so it was cool. So I started putting him into the book. So he's in Rad God 2. You see him introduced, and he's going to continue throughout the story. But it
Thor
was
Thor gets an introduction into Rad God 2?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
and,
heck yeah.
And
okay.
So, and then his father got online so I could send him some comics, and they arrived on Thor's birthday.
Oh, that's
so he got a
good.
Chance to see
that's
him in a
good.
Comic. And for me, that was like one of the coolest things that I'll ever remember as a comic artist. And I've been able to do that. Well, I made the comic about my buddy Jeff. I was able to put Thor in there. And then I've got another Tomb Guard brother who now has beaten cancer for the fifth time. And while he was going through his fifth time, just a down part of it, I was like, I have no money. I don't know what I can do for you. I wish there was something I could do for you. And he goes, make me a comic book hero. So if you look in the map, number 8, you'll see Dust Off 15, the helicopter pilot. That's him.
No way.
Oh. And Dust Off 15 was his call sign when he was in the Army as a helicopter pilot. He's still a chopper pilot. He's still a helicopter. So those are things that I love the fact that I'm the publisher, editor. I make all the decisions. I can do things like that for people. People that I want to do that for. You know, so for like,
that's what's going to keep you in the industry too, man. Like, I think at the end of the day is you see the interactions with people. I mean, when you look at the Fox News special and things like that, just what you're saying too, you see the interactions with people and you're like, man, there's a connection from the art, from the artist to the art, to the consumer. And that doesn't happen a lot of the time.
No,
I mean, that just does not happen. And people are going to Comic-Con to get that connection, and you did that for them.
And it's pretty cool. I love that I get to do that. I would never be able to get to do this without being called to go. If I had never made that relationship with Raul Martinez or with Doug Downing or, like AJ in the morning or had meeting Tim Piles before and things of that nature, I would have never had a comic book out if it wasn't for my Army brother. He's like my brother. His name's Anthony Collier, and he's been a huge, huge help for me. We were in the Army together. We were both Tomb Guards together again. We've been roommates in 3 different states together. And he's just a guy who's a number of years older than me, probably 4 years older than me. But he has always been one of the few people on this planet that has, no matter where I've been, has always believed that I'm destined for something good and has always done everything he can to help me out. And so without him, I wouldn't have been there either.
Yeah.
But so it's kind of my way of being able to pay things forward. I never want to forget the things that people have done for me, because I wouldn't be doing this with you guys without people like that. I'd just be sitting in my living room, you know, watching TV or fucking messing around on Facebook. Like, hey, I thought of something funny, you know. So.
Yeah. No, yeah. And in the pages, you can see the passion. And I think we talked about this earlier, when there's no passion in the art form, I think, what did we talk about? The Simpsons. You can tell, like, when that leaves, the product is no longer.
There's a strictly drawn line where the seasons ended, where you could tell they cared about it, and when they didn't.
Yeah, and right. who was in charge and who had the passion behind that project. And every page of every comic that you read from Chad has that passion.
Thank you.
And it's some of the best comics that I've read. And I've never really grew up reading comics, just cartoons. And this is the complete sets that I own that I'm very proud of, that I have on my bookshelf.
Love it.
Those
That's
are what
awesome.
Sit up there.
And you got the number 1 for the map too, which is good because it's out of print.
Oh, damn.
Yes.
Oh.
So we got collector's item.
That's right. Yeah. So people can still get the number 1, but it's in the trade paperback that collects 1 through 5 in one book.
And that's huge too, because we were talking to Sean Mandarino a couple months ago, and first editions are, you guys have no idea.
Yeah. And
so,
you guys have it.
What was the best moment from San Diego Comic-Con International for you?
Oh my God.
Other than just staying at the table and just being there, what would you say was like the best moment for you last week?
There's so many things that happened that were incredible. I got to experience it with my oldest daughter and with my wife, and that was really cool. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the picture of Tom Araya from Slayer when they're at the Grammys and his wife and kids are with him and his teenage daughter is like eye rolling at him. Like, oh, you're so embarrassing.
Dad, you're a fucking dork.
Right. And it's Tom Araya from fucking Slayer. Yeah. Like, I'm there and I believe I'm nowhere near his level. I can only hope to be one day. But I'm with my daughter, who's a teenager now, getting ready to go to high school. All of her friends want to be in this convention.
Oh, yeah.
and she's with me at my booth, you know, and she's able to kind of go around and do whatever she wants. And I'm just embarrassing to her, which is funny. A lot of times she smiled, and a lot of times she's grateful. And when my wife told her that I got the booth at Comic-Con, she couldn't wait to give me a hug. Like, she was so excited about it. But as we were there together, and I was kind of telling her, I'm like, look, when you're behind this booth here, we have to present something. You don't want to be sullen and mopey behind a booth, because you're going to project an energy towards people that's going to repel them. And we can't have that. So I need you sitting up and smiling, or go walk around. Go find Markiplier or whatever YouTuber you're looking for. No, she's big into that stuff. You know, go look at the video game section, all that stuff, and, you know, renew yourself.
Right. Come back when you gotta.
So, but it was fun to be able to have her. I'm hoping that one day that's cool to her. You know, like, I used to get to go with my dad because he made comic books and people would come up to him.
Dude,
no, we'll see.
Yeah, you're definitely raising. Well, you got three daughters, man.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I wouldn't feel bad, because Will Smith at this year's Comic-Con in a panel did say that you could think you're so cool playing these characters, but your kids will always let you know how uncool.
I'm telling you, I'll come back from these shows where people, they don't line up, but they'll come by and I might be their first booth because they want to, you know, update their collection, and they want me to sign, and they want me to do sketches for them and stuff, and it makes me feel pretty good. And I come home and I'm on a high, and I walk through that door, and there's these little faces like, where have you been? Do you realize that you haven't made chocolate milk for me? I mean, it's a thing, and I'm just cut back down to size almost instantly.
Yeah, they'll keep you grounded and humble for sure.
Yeah, but they just add to what we call the post-con depression. Like some of the other artists that I've met, we laugh about it. It's like you go through this convention where there's tons of people constantly at you, giving you, well, not, you know, they're buying your product from right. you and talking with you and making new friends and fans and readers.
Being engaged.
And then it just ends. I mean, like, abruptly. It's like if you fell off a building, that deceleration trauma.
It's like having a birthday. Yeah. Everybody gives you attention for like one moment. And
then
all
midnight,
of a sudden,
you don't exist anymore.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, shit, I'm back.
And like all this Monday, I felt hungover. I needed rest. I couldn't get it. I just felt, ugh. But the post-con depression sets in. But like for me, I wanted to get right back to work, you know, because I want to get Rad God 3 done. I want to have it done by the time I get out to New Mexico, because they've got their Comic-Con the weekend of September 11th. So I'll be out there for that. And nice. Then I want to try to have number 4 done at least by, you know, like late October, early November.
Yeah.
And then get the 4 issues done, and then do like the trade paperback, you know, the 1 through 4 in one book. And then I'd really like to create like a nice like steel case hardcover, like real kind of a commemorative like collector's thing for that as well.
For Rad God?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Should engrave your engrave your signature into that case.
Yeah, yeah, please. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like,
that would
be so
cool.
That would be
like
rad.
Everything embossed, and yeah, that's kind of.
Yeah,
that'd
be rad.
That's a shield, too.
That'd be rad.
That's on Rad God 1. Just, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Definitely.
That would be
it.
So sad.
Yeah.
So I got
to. I say actually just make a shield. Just the actual workable
shield
that you can
shield.
Use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the back of the grips is where everything is. You just grab
awesome.
All the merchandise from there. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But we got, okay, so we were talking about this too, Chad. We're glad to have you on because you were there, man, and Comic-Con blew up with a bunch of trailers this year.
Yeah.
I mean, there were.
It seems like this is a trend now, you know? All these big reveals at Comic-Con, their first looks.
Yeah, I waited till Sunday morning to just like, all right, everybody's gone, really. Now I can just sit here and watch all the trailers that have
exactly.
been released.
Dude, John Allen made a good point last episode where he was basically saying, he goes, there are ads downtown for panels,
right,
not ads downtown for shows.
And not only that, but even bigger than that, like the All-Star game in Fan Fest for Major League Baseball was here, and banners were up for Comic-Con.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
That's how huge it's become.
Yeah, yeah, I mean it is insane. And trailers dropped, and we're gonna do something different for Pop Not Soda. I think Brian and Dan, you guys actually came up with an idea too for the brackets.
It was all my idea, actually.
Yeah, we're gonna bracket.
It's all Brian's idea.
Yeah. We're gonna bracket out. So basically, what's gonna happen is we can't decide.
I hate you, Brian.
We'll figure that out at the Oak Tree after the recording. So we are trying to figure out what the best trailer was for Comic-Con.
For Comic-Con, we have 16 trailers from movies and
Sweet
TV.
Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Sweet 16. And what we're going to do is we're going to break them down paired. Chad, you're invited to do this too, man. We're going to do a round table. And what we're going to do is we're going to do a March Madness from the 16 on down to figure out what the best trailer was at Comic-Con. Completely subjective. You gauge it the way you want to. But we're going to do a quick round table. You have only 10 seconds or less to gauge what you think is best between the two. Shall we start?
Yeah, I think we've got the number one matchup, which is Doctor Strange versus Marvel's Netflix show Iron Fist.
And we'll start with Brian. How about that?
Going Doctor Strange because Iron Fist was just a teaser.
Boom. How about you, Dan?
I'm going Doctor Strange because Inception on Druds with Magic and Benedict Cumberbatch.
How about you, Chad?
I've only seen a Doctor Strange one. I've only seen three of them that are on this list in general.
Because he lived Comic-Con.
Yeah, he's too busy actually
he
working.
He lived Comic-Con.
So I think Doctor Strange is the winner in that because I'm going to go with that one too.
He's the number one seed. He's supposed to win.
Sorry, Iron Fist. We're not going to see you.
So, Benedict Cumberbatch.
Here you go. Here's the 8-9 matchup, which was Kong.
Jackson, Blackson, Waxon.
And on that note too, we're going to post this list up too.
Yes,
so
the bracket is on our Facebook.
If you guys want to look at our website, watch this bracket as we're ticking through it, please feel free to do so because we're probably going to be talking about a lot of things really quick. So
keep
your eye out.
The 8-9 is the Kong Skull Island, and that has Loki, and it has Nick Fury, Tom Hiddleston and Samuel L. Jackson and Captain Marvel.
And a giant
all these movies have
and John
Samuel
Goodman.
Jackson.
And there's got three Marvel people and Eazy-E
against King Arthur Legend.
Legend
that's
of the Sword.
Done by Guy Ritchie, the guy that did Snatch, Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, and
Robert Downey Jr., Sherlock Holmes. Yep.
So we're going to go Chad first. How about this?
Just from your gut.
I've only seen the Kong Skull Island trailer, and it looked fantastic, although I do like Guy Ritchie movies. So
where's your gut going?
King Arthur Legend.
Damn. Ooh. There we go. How about you, Brian?
I'm also going King Arthur. I do enjoy Guy Ritchie films, and King Kong, I just felt it was done too recently. Peter Jackson.
I'm doing Kong Skull Island because King Kong is like 300 feet tall.
He's awesome looking,
and they're gonna make him fight Godzilla. And
you just hope
so
to see
excited.
A big giant.
It does look awesome.
All right,
reveal,
guys. We're gonna have to throw the coin up. Because
I was told to pick, so I picked.
Yeah, I'm gonna say Kong too. Kong looks gigantic in this film. Haven't seen much. Let's do a coin flip.
So now we go
right
to the
now.
Cage where me and Brian go against you two.
Yeah, I like
that. No, I don't like that idea.
Got him.
This is not
that was
fair.
A crisp high five if you're wondering what that explosion was.
Nobody made
sorry
that
if you
part
damaged
of the
your eardrums by the reverberation from that high five.
Yes. And Brian and Dan are no longer recording this podcast. All right, so heads is Kong.
King Arthur.
Heads right? is King Arthur. Tails is Kong.
That was the weakest flip I've ever seen.
It's Tails, though. It's Tails. So, Tom Style.
I'm just trying to get sound up on this thing. Right. Damn it, we're recording on this thing.
We're staying with the Brits. We've got Harry
That's
Potter's Extraordinary Beasts and Where to Find Them versus Sherlock.
Ooh, Brits.
And I'm going to take this off, and I'm going Extraordinary Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Where do you find them?
That's why you got to watch the movie.
Yo, mama's
not at Hogwarts.
It's in its briefcase.
Not at Hogwarts. I'm excited to see Extraordinary Beasts, too.
Same here.
So, yeah. I think... It doesn't matter what you think anymore, Brian.
You're irrelevant at this point. Moving along.
The biggest J.K. Rowling fan, yeah. Brian Owens, over here.
So here you go. Now we have two TV shows, one Network and one Stars. And we're doing Flash.
What is American Gods? I'm not
American Gods
is
this coming
is
to Stars.
Great,
it, no, a lot of people don't know about it, but it's based right. off a very
Neil Gaiman.
Successful book. And it looks crazy. It's got a few great actors in it, and the cinematography just looks amazing.
Essentially,
but
what it is it's a lot of the mythical gods that have found human versions of themselves in Depression-era America, I think is what it is. And now they're trying to survive, but they all have to survive based on the believability of what they do for that world.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. So
that versus The Flash, which they're welcoming Dr. Alchemy, who's being played by no other than Draco Malfoy.
Ooh.
Which is super legit.
Oh, that's why he was there at the panel. My wife got pictures of them all.
Damn. Very nice. All right, so Flash and
American Gods.
American Gods. I'm
I'll
gonna
go American
first.
Gods. Sorry.
Oh no, Chad. Hey, yeah. I'm right with you. American Gods. There is one
Me
scene
too.
Where
Fuck
they're
you, Dan. Shut
yeah
up.
They're holding it. Have you seen that scene where
Barry
they're throwing,
can lick my balls a million miles an hour?
Somebody's swinging a hammer at or an anvil at a cow against a sunset that looks gnarly. So that sold me all right.
Yeah. I mean it's a new show too. Hopefully it's good because it's on Stars and they can do some R-rated stuff.
Yeah, there's no advertisement. So we've got The Walking Dead. versus Luke Cage.
Netflix,
Marvel's
Luke
Netflix,
Cage, right?
Luke Cage.
Yeah.
If you've seen the trailer for Luke Cage, I think it's probably one of the best trailers from the weekend. I'm going Luke Cage.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm excited. I'm a Walking Dead fan, but yeah, I look forward to that. Netflix has done fucking phenomenal with their Marvel stories.
Absolutely agree.
Unanimous decision then.
Yeah. I think I'm going Walking Dead.
Oh no,
you're irrelevant also.
Fucking the tiger. Bengal tiger. The tiger.
Oh, that is
in the season.
Right. I was like,
have you read the comic?
I only
know that there's a tiger.
Right, yeah. I know.
Because I mean,
I guess
Walking
that's like
Dead
the big
really
reveal for the. Was that like the big reveal
season?
For the new season?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What I've liked about the book and the TV show, because I love them both, is how one kind of gets away from the other one and does its own thing, and then every once in a while kind of weaves its way back. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you really quick, because we're going to get distracted, but for a quick second, do you think that as a comic book artist, do you think The Walking Dead transfers over to motion picture really well?
TV or motion
picture? Or TV. I'd say anything like filming-wise, because I feel like it's a really noirish comic book.
I think it's done a great job.
Done very well? Oh, okay. Right, would you prefer to see it in black and white?
No.
Okay. Damn. Okay. That's
blood runs
I've always,
red.
I've always wondered. Yeah. I've always wondered from a comic book artist.
It's fun to see it like in just like as you would.
Just a front gore, yeah, in your face. Yeah.
Next matchup, Justice League versus The Defenders, Netflix's tease of combining all of their shows. Going Justice League because it's Justice League.
Zack Snyder cannot hold any of the Defenders jockstraps, so I'm going Defenders, 100%. Even though you don't even see a single second of it. I don't care. Fuck you, Zack Snyder.
How about you, Chad?
I'm not aware of either of them.
Would you go, what do you like the name better, Defenders or Justice League?
Remember in Defender, the old video game, it's like you had to like shoot bacon?
With the joystick? Yeah,
yep.
I totally remember
that's
that.
What I grew up with, the one with the joystick. Yes, that's my era.
So we've got a early round matchup. So we're saying the 3-seed Justice League is upended by the Defenders? Is that?
Oh!
Dude, yeah. I completely am going to the Defenders on this.
Oh, wow.
Completely going to the Defenders.
Bye-bye.
Okay, next one is season 5 of CW's Arrow versus the secret Blair Witch sequel.
The Woods.
Which, that's what they called it when they screened it at Comic-Con, but it ended up being a Blair Witch sequel.
Mm. Joke's on you.
Straight sequel, which I heard was terrifying. I'm going Blair Witch.
I will also go Blair Witch. I'm not really a fan of Arrow.
I'm going to go Blair Witch, too. I'm
irrelevant.
I will say this.
My wife loves Arrow. Like, that's one of her, like, Stephen Amell's one of her man crushes.
Right.
And so she got real close to him, like, getting pictures. Like, you probably saw my post about that. I don't know if you check out my post, but about how I love to watch my wife just become this teenage, like, hyper-hormonal little girl, and all of her friends as well. Like, oh my gosh, he's so hot. So her post was something about, like, oh, he's like my man crush Monday for the weekend. And another friend's like, just the weekend, he's so hot. I'm like, well, dude, she gets me. So she kind of wins.
24/7, right.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But no, I like it, and that's how it's exactly supposed to be. Your girlfriend or wife should see these people and be like, oh my gosh, that's awesome, because that's what it's about. You should have these fangirl moments. You should have fanboy moments too. You should you should see like whoever it is you like and just go
nuts
over it. And that's awesome. That's what it's for. And for anybody to try to suppress that on you, you just need to remove them from your life.
Or Dave Callens as a Harley Quinn too.
He was hot.
Yeah.
We saw that. We took pictures. Yes.
There goes my boner for the rest of my life.
He was fantastic.
That mental picture.
Jesus. It was a great picture.
Yeah,
great costume.
He visited me like a few different times.
He killed
over the
it.
Week.
He killed the costume.
He was fantastic.
Yeah.
So final matchup.
There we are.
Wonder Woman versus Legends of Tomorrow.
The Wonder Woman trailer is fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And it also kind of builds off of when she was in Batman versus Superman. When she appeared for the first time as Wonder Woman, we were like, we should have worn Wonder Woman shirts. That was phenomenal.
It's probably one of the, I think it's the best part of the movie. I think
she's by far the best character in the whole
DC
universe.
And I think the fact that this movie's not directed by Zack Snyder will give it huge ups.
Yeah. Oh, I'll watch it now.
Yeah.
I'll actually watch it. So Wonder Woman's getting my vote.
And
here we go.
And Gal Gadot is just
she's very attractive. Oh. She's
so we're on to the semifinals.
This is the quarterfinals.
Quarterfinals.
Did anybody
okay.
write these down?
I've got them.
Okay. There we are.
So we've got Wonder Woman versus Blair Witch. I'm going Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah. All day.
Same here.
Damn, I was going to go Blair Witch.
We've got the Defenders versus Luke Cage.
Luke Cage.
We've got American Gods versus Extraordinary Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, shit. I'm gonna go Extraordinary Beasts.
I'm going Extraordinary Beasts.
I like J.K. Rowling stuff. I'm a big fan.
I'm gonna go American Gods.
I will do American Gods too.
Flip the coin.
Right. Don't dribble the coin of
fate.
Flip it.
The coin of fate.
Which I think Brett has lost the coin of fate.
I put it in my pocket.
Here, I'll flip it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, Dan.
Heads is gods. Tails is beasts.
Oh!
And Extraordinary Beast takes it.
Beast takes it.
And you heard that flip. All right, then we've got the last matchup of the quarterfinals, Doctor Strange versus Kong Skull Island.
Kong.
Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange.
Kong. God damn it.
Flipping it again. Tails is Kong. Heads is Doctor Strange. And it's heads.
Ooh.
Which was Doctor Strange.
Okay. Doctor Strange, yeah.
That was a cool trailer, though.
It was. It was. It was badass. It's going to be a lot different than I... was expecting it to be, yeah.
But no, that 300-foot Kong looks just
insane.
You crazy. Know what's funny about the trailer? Like, all of a sudden you see Samuel L. Jackson, and you're like,
yeah,
damn it.
Are there
damn
snakes
I
on this island?
Face that I made.
Are these like, King Kongs on this goddamn island?
Why is Nick Windu on this helicopter with these snakes?
All right, looking semifinals.
Sorry,
here we
no,
go.
No worries. Doctor Strange versus Extraordinary Beasts.
Extraordinary Beasts.
Doctor Strange.
Extraordinary Beast.
I'm going Doctor Strange, damn
God.
It.
Oh, flip the coin.
All right, head will go Doctor Strange, tails will go Beast.
Tails is Beast.
Tails.
Yeah.
Extraordinary Beast takes it. And then we have Luke Cage versus Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman.
Oh, I'm going Wonder Woman.
Luke Cage.
I know, I was there, I was close, yeah. But...
Luke Cage will be awesome, too.
Yeah. Wonder Woman. So, in the finals...
That's probably the first DC movie I've been excited about in a long
yeah,
time.
Wonder Woman for... Yeah. I agree. Although, I'm pretty excited about Suicide Squad.
It'll be cool.
Hey, guys, let me ask you a question. Go figure. Who are those directed by?
David
Not
Ayer.
Zack Snyder.
Not Zack Snyder.
David Ayer is doing Suicide Squad, and that's like one of the main
that's
reasons.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So, in the finals of the Comic-Con trailer, Madness...
Ooh.
Is Harry Potter's Extraordinary or I guess it's J.K. Rowling's Extraordinary Beasts and Where to Find
yeah,
Them.
Yeah, you know Harry Potter.
Versus DC Comics' Wonder Woman.
All right, gents, you are allotted 15 seconds to make your argument.
Go, Brian.
Who feels?
I have two words, Gal Gadot. So I'm going Wonder Woman. I will watch her on screen in terrible movies like Fast and the Furious, but... Now that she's actually in a lead role.
That's longer than 15 seconds. I'm cutting you off.
She deserves longer than 15 seconds.
And I'm going to give it to her right here. I'm going Wonder Woman because there's just one move where there is a rifle on her back and she just takes both her arms and just splinters it by moving her arms forward. And it just explodes. And that was all the trailer needed for me.
Made more than the gun explode.
All right, guys. So I'm going to go Extraordinary Beast.
That's because you're marrying Allison.
Well, and I'm very excited. I took my Pottermore... test.
What house are you?
Wampus. I'm in the new Wampus.
You look like
house.
Wampus.
Yeah. fierce but loyal. So yeah, I'm pretty happy about that.
That's your okay.
I'm Extraordinary Beast also.
Okay, so
the
final
comes it
comes
down to the flip.
Oh, here it comes.
It's an overtime.
Yeah,
Tails
overtime.
Is going to be Beast.
Is this a best of three coin
heads?
Flip?
This is just Let's one it. For it.
All right. We'll
one
do one.
For
one and
for
done.
It.
One
yeah,
and
one
done.
Heads is Wonder Woman. Tails
like Zack Snyder does his movies.
Here we go.
Heads,
which is Wonder Woman.
Oh, shit.
The deserved winner.
I mean,
we're going to have a female president. Might as well pick a
female
lead in the top right.
Yeah.
The top spot.
And they're beating Marvel to a female lead, which is something they can hang their hat on.
And Marvel's full on denied it.
Well,
too.
Jennifer Jones was, or Jessica Jones, sorry. Was
that right? That's true, actually. Yeah. So,
but all right. Well, that has been an awesome first segment. Come back. We've got a little bit of Olympic talk, and we are going to look it back at this year so far before we go on break for a month. So you will not want to miss out on the second part of this episode. See you on the flip side, like Brett says. Yes, we're back. I hope you enjoyed that break.
Yes,
I hope you did something useful. Maybe go to the bathroom, get a snack. What snack would you get? If you were listening to this podcast, Brian.
Funyons.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
I thought you were going to pick something classy, but
wow.
You went like
almost... That or chili cheese Fritos.
I thought
those
you
were
say
cool.
Like corn nuts or something. No,
how about you,
going
Chad?
Down with
corn nuts. What flavored corn nuts?
Yeah, they got a lot of
ranch?
Flavor. Like when I was growing up,
ranch?
They just had
Picante.
Corn nut flavored corn nuts.
Oh, just...
just then they the started OG. Bringing in like kind of spicy ones or ranch ones. Yep. And
the picante ones.
You just those can't open a ranch in any closed room whatsoever.
Oh, no.
That shit just stinks so bad.
We know that you tuned in to hear our exciting corn nut talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's what you're coming back for. But speaking of things so that you don't really want in your life, the Rio Olympics are on,
or in your mouth.
Are this week. I don't even know how that would work, but yeah, you don't want that either.
The Rio water.
And, you don't want that. Absolutely. It's funny, during the break, we ourselves had a little conversation about, you know, politics and corruption. And nothing really highlights that more than when something like this happens with
We just watched Olympic it happen committee. With the World Cup. Yeah. I know, right?
And if you've been living under a rock or in Brazil, you do not know what's happening with the Rio Olympics. But we have a quick timeline to run down.
Yes. Can we do it?
Yeah, I think we can do it. Brett, you think you can do it in under 2 minutes?
Do you want a quick timeline in under
yeah,
2 minutes?
Yeah, here, I'm going to time you.
All right, guys. All right. Ready to roll?
3, 2. Go.
All right, so they announced it in 2009. It's going to be in Brazil. 2014, the present Zika virus emerges as possible pandemic. Still going on right now. March 2015, future site for beach volleyball, Copacabana Beach, gets flooded. July 2015, investigation finds human sewage in Guanara Bay where water events will take place. Feces is not the worst in the water. Dead animals, dogs, cats, horses, and many people have been seeing actual bodies in there. 2015, July, economy basically breaks, largest recession since 1930s. Asking for bailout. February 2016, U.S. Olympic Committee advises Olympians to skip out if they have any potential health concerns on the Zika virus. So no one's showing up. May 2016, 17-year-old girl is murdered, and soccer player Rivaldo discourages Instagram followers from visiting Brazil. That happened literally 4 months ago. Also, May 2016 announced that 2/3 of tickets have been sold. 1.8 million seats remain open. Brian did the math right there. It's actually 3 months. Sorry. I saw that look.
We need Alfred back here for the
saw
math.
That, I saw
he
that
did
look
say
over.
Last week that math is not his strong point.
Yeah. June 2016, there's a I didn't hear this. Jaguar who participated in the torch ceremony earlier is shot to death for escaping the enclosure. No more animals.
I thought he went after like one of the runners or something like that. Like they passed by him and it got it excited and went after it and they shot it.
Yeah, I don't know the exact details, but... It's a dead wild animal.
So you're telling you're me at that minute 30.
Yeah. So that's the mascot.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Okay. So we have June 2016, doping Brazilian control lab is suspended by the World Doping Agency. June 2016. Also, hey, remember that beach that flooded for the volleyball games? Yeah, human body parts were found there, including a foot washed up on shore 36 days until the volleyball event. We also have July 2016, superbacteria is discovered off the coast of Rio de Janeiro. July 2016, police officers protest and greet tourists at airports with signs saying, welcome to hell. July 2016, IAAF rejects all but one Russian track and field team, the one thing that may not be Brazil's fault. And we are here to Brazil.
Maybe they just have a really good sense of humor.
I'm disappointed.
Maybe all that
in
stuff
you.
Was just like, yeah, this will be
went
funny.
5 over. Damn it.
Yeah, I blame Brian.
That was a killer timeline, though.
That was good.
So are you guys excited about it?
It was legitimately... A killer.
Do you know what I like about the Olympics? Like, I don't care about like basketball dream teams and stuff like that. I love track and field. I like watching people run because there's nothing more impressive than the human machine. You know, guys like Usain Bolt, or like our women's like 4x100, 4x400 teams have incredibly powerful human beings running at just breakneck speeds. I love seeing that, and the thought of them. Not being able to do this to their full potential, it kind of sucks.
Is it the Olympics? I mean, that's the thing. Is like that's what I was kind of getting at. Is if people are taking such a stance against not participating in this, is there an equal world participation to actually make this like the Olympics?
Well, I'll say that
it would be like the asterisk.
Yeah, like it will. That's what I think feel it like. Will because this doesn't feel like a normal. Summer when the Olympics are about to happen, right. Like
there's
just so much
times
controversy.
When the U.S. didn't participate, or when Russia didn't participate, and I mean it's happened before.
And
I feel like South Park has a really good analogy for this. Is they always play at like Stan, Kyle, or Cartman's house, but they never go over to Kenny's house and play.
Yeah,
that's exactly. Sometimes maybe you want to think about maybe we shouldn't put the Olympics at Kenny's house because Kenny can't afford the Olympics.
You mean don't have the Olympics in Soda Sopa?
No Soda Sopa Olympics.
Soda Sopa?
How about Shitty Pot of Town?
That was awesome.
Welcome.
Dude, the sad thing is like you go down this list and some of those things have, I mean, our waters off of our coast have been affected.
Not the cleanest.
Yeah, like if it rains, because, you know, you cannot go surfing like 3 days right. after
because
rain.
Of this.
Because of stuff like this.
Yeah. Yep.
And so it can happen anywhere. It's not like Brazil is not like the shithole that it's made out to be. There's a lot of good people there, and they're getting screwed over. Like with
the people
with the World Cup they were kind of forced to voluntarily build everything.
Yeah, I legitimately heard that economy is so bad right now. You can legitimately walk into a grocery store, and it is fluctuating so much that there is a guy changing prices midway through the day. And you know to run forward in front of him because the prices are cheaper.
That's crazy.
As he's changing them because they're going to gain up and they're trying to make their money.
You do want
to
support countries like Brazil. They're beautiful. They've got great culture. Absolutely. They've got great people. But to be able to take on an event like this, nonetheless, two events on this global scale within 2 years, you need the correct and strong infrastructure.
What was it like a year or so ago? Weren't they like trying to put London on call, like just
yeah,
in case.
Yeah, yeah, it was like, going to be a back, yeah, yeah backup yeah. plan,
right?
Yeah.
And I feel like it just—it's sad to see this because you want everyone to have the opportunity to host, but you've got to ensure that stuff like this doesn't happen. And
the sad part is that after this month, Brazil should have been doing so well because they hosted the World Cup and then the Olympics, and unfortunately it's just not the case, and that's because of leadership. It's because of who
absolutely
runs the country, and
I think they're going to be worse off because they're going to have these monstrosities built in their city that aren't getting any use.
There's a bunch of World Cup stadiums that they show that are just in decay now.
Yeah,
and it's only been like a year and a half, 2 years.
They're built out in the jungle.
Well, and that's an economy that already is in a recession too.
Yeah.
Like that's the thing, is like they're finding a like even Qatar or something like that. That's FIFA, and that's ridiculous. Like they should not be having a thing there. But you're like, well, even
no one cares about human rights, though, right?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, even if they stretch it along every single other check, like even if they cross along every other line, you're still going, well, I guess they have the money to do it. Brazil, they don't even have the money to do it. That's what's crazy about it. Is like, where are they getting it? I think the governor, like just like 2 months ago, asked for like an extreme bailout or something like that, and like, who knows where that's going or whatever, but I mean, it's crazy to think that this is the city that is hosting the summer games for 2016.
Yeah, you can't even, you know, afford to feed half your country, but you're going to have the entire rest of the world come in and compete in the Olympics.
The only way that I would watch the Summer Olympics now is if every single event takes place on Blanca's stage. Or it's just that like rickety like platform against
it's
the water
that,
and everybody's just fighting each other.
Like. That may be what
like,
it actually
yeah,
looks
yeah.
like.
Don't
like,
fall in the water. Yeah. Do not fall
it
in the
water.
It
seems more like an extension of like the Hunger Games.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually where they're going to hold the wrestling event is on that
their government,
beat up dog.
I think just listened to Pitbull too much because when he says, you know, I knew my rent was going to be late a week ago, but he's got $20, so he's going to the club anyway.
Are you referring to Mr. Worldwide?
Yes, I am, Dale.
Oh, shit.
So I think they listened to too much Pitbull, and they were like, we should pay for, you know, our country, food, our you know, impoverished citizens, but I think we've done enough to afford the Olympics.
I don't think he does that, does he?
No.
Pitbull does it.
No, that's like designer.
I have no idea.
Are you kidding me? No, he totally does that.
This is like my get off my lawn moment here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No idea.
Gran Torino. I'm getting the Gran Torino face over here. Yeah.
Don't worry. No one deserves to have to listen to Pitbull.
Let's do a quick round table, though, really quick. Pop Not Soda wants to ask, if you know you're an Olympian at the Rio Olympics, when? Dan, you want to take it first?
Yeah, there's more running water on the plane you came in on than in the country.
You took my joke. Damn it.
Oh.
Ugh.
Oof, that's a good one.
I'll add on to that.
Please do.
There is more running water coming out of an organ than, or there is more running water coming out of an orifice than a faucet. A body. There's more running water coming out of a body because it's sick and it's diarrhea. Like
there's diarrhea.
Diarrhea.
There are more Olympians running than there is water running.
Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Damn. Chad improves my jokes, and this guy's been retired from comedy for, what, 10 years?
We're going to replace Brett with Chad. That's you can look forward to that in the fall.
I might come back.
All right. Well, I think you know you are in the Rio Olympics when the criminals are outrunning the Olympic athletes.
That's awesome. This guy coming around the... She's running from the police.
I got one. All right, ready? You know that you are an Olympian at the Rio Olympics when there are 5 miscues for the race because shots are being fired outside of the stadium.
Mm. Oh, like false starts?
Yep.
Yep. Head on a swivel out there.
Oh. Boom. You know you're an Olympian at the Rio Olympics when they only have dial-up and no Wi-Fi.
Oof. Will you catch anything off that Wi-Fi, though? I don't think the Wi-Fi is even safe. Yeah.
No Pokemon Go.
No Pokemon Go.
You know you're an Olympian at the Rio Olympics when the deadliest thing is not the criminals, but the insects.
Mm, damn.
Moscos. Bad news. Mosquitoes.
Yeah. You know, one thing we didn't talk about, too, and I want to ask you guys about this, because I saw an article that came out like the other day. A lot of condom usage.
Oh, yeah.
Condom sales.
Olympics are nefarious for being just wild.
Is that what's
happening?
The athletes just hook up with each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
think about this. Think real quick. Look at what the Olympics is, from swimming to running. You've got some of the best bodies in the world. Do you think that they walk around with those perfect bodies thinking like, I need to go study math? I'm not saying they're dumb.
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
true. You've seen the real world, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, think about it. This is
a city of the real world.
And a lot of them will only compete like 1 or 2 days and then be there.
What are they going to do the rest of the time?
Exactly.
Okay, so that's a good point, because I didn't think about that.
Not
I thought
get
these,
pregnant.
See, I thought these athletes were playing the entire time. So
no,
I was like,
they have to wait
how
there
are they fitting
the
in 2 hours
ceremonies
a day? To, you know, if there's training happening at 6 in the morning and their competitions
are at
6. Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, you got every country. And these people, especially nowadays, they've been on Instagram following people and their little
Tinder
feeds. Yeah.
And they're all young too, you know?
Yeah. Dan, you had a good idea about that. We should do the real world. We should
real world Rio.
Yeah. Find the house where all the Olympians are staying at. Get a camera crew. Plot lines are already happening.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
you don't need to write anything.
No.
Just film them.
How do they
banging each other's brains out.
How do they kick people out of the house, though?
You don't kick people out of the house in the real world.
Oh, you don't,
everyone
huh?
lives together. This is not Big
rules.
Brother.
Or okay. I'm thinking of something different.
Yeah, get off it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yes, hopefully somehow there's a miracle and the Rio Olympics do not end up being what we all think and know they're going
to
be.
Or that there's a camera crew in the
situation. Well, I think we tend to just assume everything's going to go to shit. You know, look at Y2K. How old were you guys during Y2K? Do you remember this?
Yeah, of course. We were like 14. Yeah. 14,
okay.
15.
I was 11.
That's okay.
Yeah.
So I was 27 at the time, or going on 27. And I just remember, like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, like, they really thought the world was going to end.
Yeah.
Because of a computer, like, the fucking sun rose and set before computers.
Because, Chad, you know why? Because the human race instinctually leans towards the worst outcome,
sure,
rather than the better one.
So we'll get one thing. Oh, Zika virus. Oh, there's fucking body parts washed up on shore. That shit happens in America.
Yep, that's true.
Now, the Olympic Village is another thing. I mean, are we going to see who's the guy that goes on there and fucking gets pink eye? Who remember that?
Costas. Al Michaels. Or Bob Costas.
Oh, Bob Costas. Yeah. Yep.
You know, will we see similar things like that? Maybe. I don't know.
He's doing live broadcasts
when they're,
on
when they're
top of the toilet.
About,
like
toilets don't flush or whatever. Like, those are health concerns. That's where someone can get sick. But, and I really want it to go off without a hitch, because it'd be, I mean, Rio's aesthetically, like to look at Rio on camera, it looks awesome.
I'm rooting for Rio.
Would you ever
Can
we ask for a limited release comic book about an athlete trying to survive in Rio during the Olympics from Chad Kavanaugh? It like the map, kind of, where it's like,
because that should have been done like 6 months ago.
I have a better question. Would you rather have to survive in the universe of the map or the universe of the Rio Olympics?
Oh, good question, actually.
I think in the universe of the Rio Olympics, you can still have the option of getting on a plane and going somewhere else.
Yeah.
Touché.
And then, you know, and it's, you know, we're talking about like a one tiny little thing that's being blown up.
Yeah.
And it's being the only thing that's being focused on, as opposed to the rest of a nation who, I mean, it's good people there.
People
you know?
Are still vacationing every
I'll
other
tell
city.
You this. People go to Rio all the, I mean, people love going to Brazil.
Yeah.
If I go to turn the water on my faucet and nothing comes out, I'm like, fuck, I don't want to survive. Just kill me. So, no, I wouldn't want to be in the universe of the map. The whole idea is like, fuck, where am I going to, you know, where am I going to go to the bathroom? There's no toilet paper. That's shit that nobody thinks about. Like, when you watch The Walking Dead, nobody fucking brings up toilet paper.
Nope.
I am 25 volumes into the story. They don't bring up toilet paper.
Shoes? Things like that?
They brought up toothbrush and the toothpaste. Michonne brings up toothpaste, but that's like it.
Just like once. Yeah, they mention it.
But these are things that you don't think about, man. Go camping. Go somewhere where you're without facilities for a week. You fucking smell. You don't realize you smell because you can't smell how bad you smell. Someone will come near you and they'll treat you like you're homeless because you're just kind of stewing in your own filth. Dude, that's awful.
Yeah, people. Oh, you look like you've been out to in the sun too long. Yeah, and you smell.
Must have been a Rio.
Yeah. That's like when you see the people that are homeless. Like those are like the ultimate survivors right there. Yep. Those guys and girls are they're making it. It's frightening.
Yeah. So, do you think Rio should start pulling people off the streets to compete? You think they would kick ass?
You're gonna say, do you think they should start pulling people off the streets and make them disappear like they did in Russia with the dogs?
Oh, no.
I was like,
oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well.
That took a light turn at the last
Chad turned us towards hope, which I appreciate that, Chad.
No.
This year so far has been great. I think looking back on our 21 episodes in season 2, there have been a lot of fun times. I think my favorite still is the unreleased Eddie Vedder off that we had with Trustin Mile.
We may have to release that.
Segments.
That was pretty great.
Better Man? No, it wasn't. It was Simple Man.
We were seeing Simple Man, but it was just who could do the worst Eddie Vedder impression at one point.
That was pretty rad. That was pretty rad. How about you, Brian? Best from...
I really like John Allen a lot. I think his impressions are tremendous. And if you haven't heard our episode last week, he does, honestly, one of the best Donald Trump impressions I've ever heard in my life.
His Christopher Lee had me laughing.
Christopher
so
Lee
hard.
Also good. You know, that'll date you a bit, so look up Christopher Lee.
By the
Lee.
Way, is that little boy that Christopher Lee had still here? Or did he take
I think
Don't
he's probably him. Dead by now.
Don't
in one
ask
of the
Dan.
Cupboards.
We're
yeah.
not we're not asking about that, Dan.
Brett?
For me, I legitimately think it was probably
Tonight with Chad.
Tonight with Chad, I like that. I think.
What
big,
about the water bottle challenge?
Well, the
I
water
feel like
bottle
that
challenge
was your favorite.
I got.
You're really good at that.
I got jacked up
so
on that.
Good.
No, you know what I would think. The biggest news of 2016 so far was Chargers staying in San Diego. I think
for
I was,
a year.
Yeah, pretty stoked about that. I don't know how my gut's telling me about. I feel with the ownership, nothing's changed with that. So who knows if this is going to be a progressive problem moving over until they just cut the appendage. But
no, we've had a plethora of awesome guests, just like Chad himself tonight. We've had anybody from our female co-host that comes on every now and again, Alyssa Root, our Walking Dead expert and relationship
expert. Yep.
We've had Sean Mangiarino, and his book has launched this year. So if you missed out on his, which was
My Name is Fall.
My Name is Fall.
My Name is Fall.
I think they just released, actually. Yeah, the copies are shipping out right now.
He got that Pop Not Soda push for his Kickstarter.
He did. You're welcome, Sean.
You know, like I mentioned, Trustin Mile was one of the great bands we had on, especially with Newcomer as well.
We had Scott Schindler, in case you need legal counsel.
Right, and he also, I mean, Scott Schindler apparently did everything.
Yeah, fantasy sports advice.
Yep.
Speaking of a guy that does everything, is from The Mind Life, Gary. Man, that episode was ridiculous with us trying to win bids while being on air.
Yeah, it just went by like a flash. Don't even remember it. I don't think we won anything, but...
No. And that jacked up my recording, too, that day. So I was paying attention to my phone the entire time.
Yeah, and then Andre Balmay from Farpoint, he was awesome. And that was one of our few call-in interviews that we got to do. And him being the lead designer for Farpoint was cool.
Yeah, hopefully, Dan, this will expand your VR experience away from just porn.
And we got it. We can't
really
forget.
Is that what we're going out on? Is that
we can't forget about Newcomer?
Wait, your
too.
Obsession with VR
newcomer.
Porn?
Oh, you said Newcomer
Lee,
too.
Lee, Mar, and Dennis had a good time.
Yep, that was fun.
Which it's just I don't know what the VR porn. It just throws me off every time. I didn't even know it existed until
here's
you
here's
said
a joke,
something about
here's a joke. Dan will become a newcomer to VR porn.
Hey-o!
It's a terrible joke.
All right. So that was a great episode, guys. Chad, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, Chad's like looking at us right now.
I know.
Let's wrap it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Make sure you find Chad on Facebook, Grunt1B Comics. Etsy is the Grunt1B Comics. Etsy?
Grunt1BComics.etsy.com.
Perfect.
At Grunt1B Comics for Instagram, Twitter. Grunt1B Comics on Facebook.
And Chad, anything that's coming on in the future that we should keep an eye out for?
Rad God 3 hopefully will be done by the end of August, and I'll be at Southern California Comics for that, 8280 Claremont Mesa Boulevard, Suite 124, and heading off to New Mexico for Comic-Con.
When are you going to be at the comic book store in San Diego?
Whenever I get...
What is funny about SoCal Comics is two spaces over is Newcomers Rehearsal Space.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, there's like four or five breweries right around that area.
Yeah, so the band that we had on a couple months ago, they rehearse right where, like, when we came and visited
right
you.
Right on the corner, I think, right?
Yeah, when we came and visited you for one of your releases, they were actually over rehearsing at the same time.
Yeah, I think they're on the back side of it, right? Yeah.
It's a small world. So please make sure you go check out Grunt1B Comics. Like I said, we're taking about a month off. We're gonna regroup, come back in fall for the latter half of the year, latter half of season two.
I think we all really know that Dan is planning to release his solo career during this time. The Beyonce of the group.
Which is funny.
VR porn announcer.
Because if you do miss us in that month, you can check the first episode of the Paper Champion Pop Not Soda's Wrestling Podcast.
Boom. There we are.
Which is hosted by me.
I'm such a prognosticator.
Dude. That was like psychic right there.
I
got no poker face. But also follow us on Twitter at @pop_notsoda. Brian,
you didn't try to deny the story.
I'm not. It's true. Brian is at BOwen619. Brett is at Fearboner. And I'm at the Paper Champion DP.
Collective sigh.
Callback. Make sure to catch our future episodes when we come back in the fall right here at popnotsoda.podbean.com or on iTunes podcast, keyword Pop Not Soda. And also stay updated on all of our content at Facebook.com/PopNotSodaOfficial. Until next time, gentlemen, we will catch you on the flip side.
Chad, thanks for coming on, brother.
Thank you guys for having me.
Woo! Of course. Adios.
Paper Champion. Sucks. At .podbean.com.
Sucks.